Well, good evening. Always a blessing to be with the Lord's people, meeting together, fellowshipping together, and worshiping together around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you find Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll be right back where we read a moment ago. I want to try to bring a message this evening from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 down through verse 22. At verse 19 down through verse 22. Verse 20 will be my main text. Three words. Here's my title and my subject in verse 20. Three words you cannot improve upon. Three words that sums up everything we believe taught in the Word of God concerning this salvation by the sovereign grace of God. These three words that God has given unto us, this gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at these three words in verse 20. Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ Himself. Christ is all and in all. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in the Lord Jesus Christ we stand complete in Him. Now, if you go back and look at verse 18 for a moment, it talks about this blessed reconciliation we have through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this word that God gives us here, for through Him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, God was in Christ reconciling His people unto Himself. For through Him we both have access. Now you think what He's saying there. Access. If you go back and look at the tabernacle in the holy place, in the Holy of Holies, who went into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement? Not any particular priest, common priest, but the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, he went in under the veil and he put the blood on that mercy seat. He had access. But you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's tree, that veil in the temple that day was rent top to bottom. Salvation is not from the bottom up, it comes from the top down. Salvation's of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ, having reconciled us, having redeemed us, we're made nigh unto God by the blood of Christ. Now we have access unto the throne of grace, so much so that He says in Hebrews chapter 4, seeing that we have such a great high priest that is passed into the heavenlies, let us draw near, He said, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Think about it. The Lord said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he has life, salvation. We have access. You see that? The door, you came into this building this evening through a door. It gives you access into this building. The Lord Jesus Christ is our door. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the bread. He's the water. He's everything in salvation. For through Him, in Him, and because of Him, and by Him, we have access by one Spirit unto God our Father. He said, come, all you that are weary and heavy laden. He said, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Now, look at verse 19. He said, now therefore, you are no more what you were by nature, strangers to the covenants of grace, aliens. You remember back in the earlier part of this chapter, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, he said, for remember that in you being in time past, here's what we are by nature, children of wrath, even of others, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, ungodly. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens, being idolaters, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, without God in this world, but now. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, made nigh, near unto God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but now, look at verse 19 again. Now therefore, because of all that Christ is, because of all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, now therefore, we are no more strangers to God. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're no more strangers. We are no more foreigners to His mercy, foreigners to His grace. But He says, you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, in Him, you're no longer estranged from God. Sheep going astray, but now you're brought into the fold by His grace. In Christ Jesus, we're no longer strangers to the covenant of love, no longer strangers to His mercy, no longer strangers to His grace, His power, but we're friends. Friends. No longer foreigners, idolaters, and aliens to the covenants of God's promise of salvation in Christ, but now we know Him. We are found in Him. He's made us to love Him, to rejoice in Him, to hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what He's saying there? Now therefore you are no more, no longer are you strangers to our great God in the gospel of Christ. No longer are you foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're in His household. He's our Father. We're fellow citizens with one another, saints of God, having the blessed and sweet fellowship around the gospel, the glorious good news of forgiveness and pardon in Christ Jesus. We read in Scriptures that God is a God ready to pardon. In Philippians chapter 3, it says that for our conversation, and that word there can be rendered citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are fellow citizens in His kingdom, in His church, in His family. We are fellow citizens one with another. And every believer is a saint. Did you know that? If you're a believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a saint. You've been sanctified in that eternal covenant of grace. Set apart, chosen in Christ Jesus. Sanctified by God the Holy Spirit, doing that work of grace in your heart. Giving you a new nature, a divine nature. He's made us to be partakers of that divine nature. If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature, a new creation. That's what happens in regeneration and in the new birth. We've been made fellow citizens. We've been made saints of God, set apart by divine election, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. But notice further, He says, you're the household of God. We've been adopted into His family. We've been made by the sons of God. You remember what John said? Behold, beloved, now are we sons of God. Behold, what love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Do you think of all the blessing we have in Christ Jesus? We're fellow citizens. We're saints, sanctified in Christ, set apart in that eternal covenant of grace, sanctified by the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're of the household of God, family of God, members one of another. We share, believers do, in the fullness of His grace. Believers are richly clothed in Christ Jesus. Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is plenteous mercy in Him. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. We've been made heirs of a never fading inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. You see what blessings we have in Christ Jesus. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Made heirs of a never fading inheritance, made heirs of God, and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 20. And, you mean there's more? And are built upon the foundation. Now, there's just one. There's just one foundation. And that foundation, as you all know, that God has laid in Zion is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And are built upon the foundation. Now, watch this carefully. Notice how this is said here. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ Himself. The church of God and this family of God, this household of God, is built upon a strong foundation. And that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's what He's saying here. All the prophets of the past, they had but one foundation. It's not saying that the church is built upon the apostles and the prophets. That's not so. But all the prophets of the past had how many foundations? One foundation. Who was that foundation? Was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. All the prophets of the past had but one hope of salvation. You talk about Jeremiah. His hope of salvation was Christ. Isaiah. All the Old Testament prophets, matter of fact, it says in the book of Acts, to him give all the prophets witness. They all testified and gave witness that the one foundation that God had laid in Zion that's tried, sure, and certain is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Built upon this household of God, this family of God, this church of God is built upon the foundation of the prophets, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Now, it also mentions there the apostles. Is the household of God built upon the apostles? No. But it's built upon the apostles, the foundation that the apostles described. And here's what it is. You remember in 1 Corinthians it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. You remember in the book of Acts in chapter 4 when Peter and John were arrested and brought before that trial and they wanted to know by what name and by whose power and by whose authority had this crippled man been made whole? You remember Peter's answer? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see what he's saying here? All the apostles of the past, all the prophets of the past have but one foundation. They all pointed to Jesus Christ Himself. Now that sums it up. There is no other. Now, I want to show you from the Scripture this phrase here, how the Lord God the Holy Spirit uses it in Scripture to teach us that in salvation the Lord Jesus Christ is everything. Everything. Now here's the first reference. Jesus Christ Himself is the theme of all Scripture. He is the message of all Scripture. Now turn back to Luke chapter 24. Jesus Christ Himself is the theme of all Scripture. Luke 24. Luke 24, you remember the story. The risen Lord met with these two men that walked on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, look at verse 25. Then He said unto them, O fools, slow of heart. This is the Lord speaking to those two men. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. What is this book about? What is this Bible about? The whole message of Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Old Testament tells us someone's coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. The Gospels tell us that He has come. He is here. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. And the Epistles tells us what? He's coming again. He's coming again. In all the Scriptures, the thing concerning Himself. Now, say right here in Luke 24, look at verse 44. He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms." What are the Psalms about? What all the prophets speak about? What does the law of Moses tell us about? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. In the prophets, in the Psalms, concerning me. It's all about Christ. If you turn to any book in the Old Testament or any book in the New Testament, it's always a message about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The Bible is all about Christ, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, His person, His work. Because Christ is the theme of this book, He must be the subject of our preaching. Jesus Christ Himself. Someone said, when you're done with preaching Christ, you better be done with preaching. You see, we preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ. We point sinners unto the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's the theme of Scripture. We're told in the Gospels, "I charge thee before God," Paul said to Timothy, "who shall judge the living and the dead at the appearing of His kingdom, to preach the Word." Preach Christ. Preach Christ. I've never heard a believer complain that the preacher preached too much about the Lord Jesus Christ. That he exalted Him too high. That he gave Him too much honor and too much glory. I'd like to be guilty of that, wouldn't you? Of lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw my people unto me. You see, in the preaching of the gospel, it's lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Who He is. What He did. Why. That He might be a just God and Savior. Jesus Christ Himself, His person, His work, all about Him, is the theme of this book. It's the theme of all Scripture. Secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is our Redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ is all our redemption. Now, He's not some of it. He didn't pay a part of it. He paid the whole ransom price. He paid the full price. And you know what the price of our redemption was? Jesus Christ Himself. Now, I can show you that here in the book of Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and following. Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus Christ Himself. That was the price that God demanded. That was the price that the law demanded. His blood for our sin. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also had loved us, and hath given," what did He give? "Hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." The blood on the altar is unto the Lord. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is not offered to men. It's offered unto God. It's a sweet-smelling savor unto God. And that offering is Jesus Christ Himself. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away our sin. Jesus Christ Himself is all our redemption before God. Look at the same chapter, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave." What did He give? Now, He could have given a lot. He owns everything.
But He gave Himself. He gave Himself for our sins.
Now, you want to mark your place there in Ephesians 2 and find Hebrews chapter 1. I'm saying that Jesus Christ is all of our redemption before God. He bought us with His own blood. Doesn't it say that in Acts 20? God bought us with His own blood? You see, it's just not that someone died. It's just not that some historical, some mere Jewish man died. This one who died is God Almighty manifest in the flesh. And He gave Himself. His redemption work was successful, effectual, substitutionary, and satisfying unto God. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of God's glory, speaking of the person of Christ, and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, why did He sit down? You go back and study the tabernacle and the pieces of furniture in that tabernacle, there was not a chair in there. The priest never went in the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies, or the holy place, and sat down. His work was never done. Every morning, every evening, every year. The Lord Jesus Christ, because He successfully put away the sin of God's covenant people, so much so that God said their sin, and how effectual is the blood atonement of Christ? How completely does He put away our sin and redeem us unto God? That God Almighty said, their sin and their iniquity, I remember no more. Jesus Christ Himself is all our redemption before God. Do you have any other hope? No. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Jesus Christ Himself, He's the only foundation. Jesus Christ Himself is the theme of all Scripture. Jesus Christ Himself is all of our redemption before God. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now stay right here in Hebrews 9, look at verse 26. The middle part of verse 26 says, But now, once in the end of the world, end of the age, hath He appeared. Who appeared? The Lord Jesus Christ. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice, not of blood of bulls and goats. He didn't bring that typical sacrifice, did He? What did He bring? His own blood. Jesus Christ appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Did He get the job done? Absolutely. Absolutely. He put away all the sin of God's covenant people, and they stand completely justified by His blood, Jesus Christ Himself. Now here's the third thing. Jesus Christ Himself is all our righteousness before God. Jesus Christ Himself, He's all our righteousness before God. Now, I not only need to have my sin put away and redeemed and cleared, but I also need a justifying righteousness before God. And I can't produce it. You can't either. But the Lord Jesus Christ did, and He freely gives that unto us. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the Lord, our righteousness. Now turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I remember years ago, this is going back past 35 years ago, I was driving up Interstate 64 And as I'd often do, I'd put my Bible on my steering wheel or on my old work truck, on my dash, and I would try to glance at the scripture and read a little bit while I did a little bit of driving down the interstate. You could do that on a straight road. Now, I don't advise you to do that, but one day this long ago, and I never have forgotten it, I was looking at Philippians chapter 3 and looking at the scripture beginning at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things. Old Saul of Tarsus took all his religious past and put it all in the garbage can and said it's nothing but dung. And I do count it dung that I may win Christ. And here it is, verse 9. And here's the verse that gripped my heart that day I was driving down the freeway, and I've never gotten over it. Jesus Christ Himself is all our righteousness, and that we might be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, a legal one, something that I tried to bring or produce myself, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The faith of who? Not your faith. The faith of Christ. His faithfulness. The righteousness which is of God by faith, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all our righteousness. Now, the believer is no longer going about to establish the righteousness of his own. Are we? No! Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Rather, we are resting in Christ, believing Him. Listen to Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and He's our Redeemer. He's our redemption. Jesus Christ Himself. You get a hold of what He's saying here? I've been looking at this a long time. I've never gotten over it. Jesus Christ Himself is all I need to stand before God, justified, complete, made whole of His fullness. It says that in John chapter 1. Of His fullness have all we received grace for grace because of His fullness. We stand complete in Him. Jesus Christ Himself is all of our righteousness. Here's the fourth thing. I've just got five of these. A couple more to look at. But you could expand this out. And you could run with this for a long time. And you could never wear it out. Jesus Christ Himself is all of our salvation. All of our redemption. All of our righteousness. But here's the fourth thought. Jesus Christ Himself is the only object of saving faith. Jesus Christ Himself. Now go back to Ephesians 2 for just a minute. Jesus Christ Himself, now, is the only object of saving faith. Now, where does this faith come from? Faith is not, the faith of God's elect is not something that blooms in our wicked, sinful heart naturally. It's not a natural occurrence of our fallen humanity. Faith is the gift of God. Look at verse 8 again. Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. This faith, now listen to me, I thought about this coming up the highway before, I've never looked at it in this light. I've never looked at it in this light before. If I have, I've forgotten, which is easy to do. For me it is. Faith that's a gift of God looks back to the giver. Right? Faith that's a gift of God doesn't look in here. Faith that's a gift of God looks back to the one who gave it. To the giver. It's the gift of God.
Jesus Christ Himself is the only object of saving faith. Faith, God's elect, looks unto Christ alone. It looks back to the giver. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Let me show you another scripture. It looks back to the giver. Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus Christ Himself. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing that we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking. Where do we look? A lot of people look to their ceremony. A lot of people look to their feelings. A lot of people look to their emotions. Saving faith doesn't look there. Saving faith looks back to the giver. Looking, look what it said, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the author and finisher of our faith. Saving faith looks back to the author of faith. Now the foundation of faith is what? The Word of God. The object of faith has to be the subject of this book, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the object of saving faith. Looking unto Christ alone, not to an experience of the past, not to my feelings of the present, not even saving faith doesn't even look to faith. My faith is not in my faith. My faith is in Christ alone, Jesus Christ Himself. Looking unto Him. That's why the Lord said, I am God, beside thee there is none other. Look unto me. All ye ends of the earth, I am God, and beside me there is no other. Here's the last thing. Jesus Christ Himself. That's what it says in the text there. This foundation of this fellow citizenship we have with the saints, sanctified in Christ Jesus, and this household of God, this church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is built upon this one foundation, and that one foundation that God had laid in Zion that tested true, certain, and sure is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. You see what He's saying there? He's the chief cornerstone. He's the only rock upon which we can build. So here's the last point. Jesus Christ Himself is the only source of all true joy, comfort, hope, and peace. Now, I can make good on that. Jesus Christ Himself. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Jesus Christ Himself. You see, it all revolves, this gospel of God is concerning a person. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now look what it says here, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And God, even our Father, who hath loved us, and He has given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts. Establish you in every good word and work. What? Jesus Christ Himself. You see, He's all our comfort. He's all our hope. He's everything to the believer. To you who believe, He's precious. He's altogether lovely. Now look just across the page, if you have the Bible that I have, over in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, and let's read it this way, and our Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. He's our hope. Jesus Christ Himself. He is all our hope. He's our comfort. He's our joy. He's our hope. We have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself. He's our hope. He's our joy. He's our comfort. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. And He is our comfort. Comfort. You remember in John 14, 15 and 16, when our Lord said to His apostles, "I'm going away, and where I go, you can't come right now." But He said there to Peter there in that 13th chapter, about verse 35 or 36, "But you'll come later. You'll come later." And then He said, "I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send a comforter. When the Holy Spirit has come, He will comfort you." Now listen. What does God, the Holy Spirit, comfort us with? Now, you think about that a minute. What does He comfort us with? You read in chapter 16, verse 13, 14, 15 of John 16. Don't read it now, but let me just see if I can't quote it for you. But John 16 talks about when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit that our Lord said is a comforter, He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. So, what does the Holy Spirit comfort us with? Jesus Christ Himself. It's not with some gooey, ooey feeling. It's not with some emotional fit. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving, Martin Luther said. My warrant is the Word of God, and nothing else is worth believing, is it? When He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He'll take the things of Christ and He'll show them unto you. And you know what that does in our heart? That gives us comfort. That gives us hope. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything I need to stand before God complete in Him. Nothing lacking whatsoever. Jesus Christ Himself is all our salvation. He is that chief cornerstone. Now look back at Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just going to read these two verses and let you go. In whom all the building fitly framed together. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He's made us living stones in this living temple. He has fitted us in there. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's delivered us from the wrath to come. In whom all the building fitly framed together. You carpenters know something about that. How you fit things together. Frame things together. And this living temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's alive, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, you know what it does? It grows. It grows. That which is living grows. We grow in grace, don't we? Now, we don't grow in holiness or sanctification. We are sanctified in Christ. We are holy in Christ. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But my soul, we do grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might do what? Grow thereby. I'm interested in growing in grace. And we grow up unto a holy temple in the Lord. We grow together as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, in whom you also are builded together. Now watch this. Builded together. There's so much fellowship here and oneness of believers and oneness and union with the believers and with the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom you're also building together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. He dwells in us. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No, never, no, not ever. Never." What an astounding gospel we have. Mercy and grace that God would justify us in Christ, make us new creatures in Christ, and then come to live within us. and to abide within us and to reign over us. You see, it's Jesus Christ Himself. When He called you out of darkness, He not only is enthroned in glory, but I tell you what happens in salvation. When He comes and invades your heart, your mind, your soul, your affection, everything about it, everything about you, He comes and He enthrones Himself in you. Jesus Christ Himself. And it causes you to love Him. Causes you to believe Him. It causes you to bow unto Him, submit unto Him, look unto Him, rest in Him for all salvation. Jesus Christ Himself. You see what I'm talking about, those three words? Three tremendous words. What a truth we have. What a gospel we have. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the invitation coming up, for come up and to preach for you. I thought about this scripture. I was going to open with this, but I'll close with this. I often quote Brother Scott Richardson, who served here for so many years. And oftentimes I remember things that he said over the years. And I told him last time I was here, when Brother Scott was still with us back in 2009, I sat down next to him over here in the fellowship hall. And I said, Brother Scott, and I said, you've been such a blessing to me and such a help to me. And I told him, I said, I remember the first time I heard you preach the gospel down in Ashland. And I said, I remember the text that you used, Romans 14:9, for this end, to this purpose, Christ both died and rose and revived that He might be Lord. I've never forgotten it. Your former pastor was such a faithful, faithful gospel preacher. And this ministry that God has established here over 50 years, going on 60 years. I thought of this scripture. I thank God for your former pastor and your current pastor, Brother Marvin, and for this congregation. And this verse came to my mind in Romans chapter 1, where the apostle says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And it's true of this congregation. It's true of this ministry of the past and the present. Your faith in Christ Jesus Himself is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, do you glory in that? No, we glory in Him. He did it all. He did it all. Okay, God bless you. Bless it. God bless His Word.